Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
To stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's hour three of In This League on FNTSY, and I am joined by my friendo, KC Bubba. You can find him on the Twitter at BDNTrick. KC, what is going on, man? Are you ready for football?
Oh, I am ready, Mr. Bogman, and it's a pleasure to be here. It's happening. Preseason's finally in the books, so we can crack on week one. It's going to be a blast.
Oh, God, I can't wait. I cannot wait for the NFL. And, you know, today, as you're listening to this, spoiler alert, you probably heard me talk about all the great college football action of the day. And, oh, God, what a great opening day that we had. It was amazing. We're definitely not pre-recording this. So it was so much fun to do all that. And I had no breaks in any of my updates. And that last hour I helped host went totally smoothly. So there were no issues at all. Isn't that a great day that I had today?
Yes, smooth. Awesome transitions. You're a pro's pro, my friend. Pro's pro.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by all these contract offers I got immediately after that, those updates and hosting that show for an hour. So don't know if we'll be back next week or not. So, you know, because of all the offers. Right. But, you know, this happened. The big news that happened, Bubba, was Andrew Luck. And it happened probably about 3 minutes after our show aired last week. So it was just ridiculous that we didn't get this in last week. But first, I want your reaction to the Andrew Luck, and then we'll talk about all the fallout. So Andrew Luck retires at 29, out of nowhere to the public. So what did you think of all of this stuff?
Well, first off, him retiring was a shocker. I don't know who wouldn't have been shocked. I told others before, I've been watching games. I was tweeting out nonsense like I usually do. I plugged my phone in and put it away for about a half an hour to go have dinner with the wife. And in that half an hour span, the bomb just drops. The Andrew Luck news happens. And it was crazy. I don't know how anybody would have saw that coming outside of the organization, because obviously the stories now is the organization knew there was something along those lines. But it was crazy. When you look at it more, it makes sense. I don't blame him one bit for doing it. It just, I could see how it could really suck if you're a fan, no doubt about that. But it was a massive shocker, because all you heard is he's planning to come back. He's planning to come back. And then just boom, I'm out. It was pretty crazy.
Well, I mean, he was, doing those leg warm-ups and everything. And you're like, oh, yeah, he's ready to rock week one. This is all precautionary. You know, when you saw him doing that, I think it was week two of the preseason, when he was bouncing around on all those, the barriers, whatever they're called in the back of the end zone. That was like the one clip we had of him doing anything. And he looked perfectly fine. So everyone was like, yeah, this looks pretty good. We're ready to rock, all that stuff. And then, you know, like I said, out of nowhere, how about the booing? Because a lot of people had just immensely different takes on the booing. You know, the news comes out from Adam Schefter, and a lot of people are blaming Adam Schefter for breaking this. I don't know why. You know, you get the news when you're in a position that he is, you have to break it. Otherwise, you're going to get beat by someone else, you know. So it didn't surprise me that he broke it when he did. It was bad timing for Andrew Luck and the Colts, of course, because it was during that third preseason game. And when he was leaving the field, it was hitting the news to all the people in the stands on Twitter and text and all that good stuff. And when he was leaving, they just started booing the holy S out of him. I mean, it was boo, and people were upset. So what was your take on the booing? Because everyone seems to have some hardline opinion on this.
I'll be honest, when I first saw it and saw the clips, I felt like just ridiculously horrible for Andrew Luck. I thought it was pretty bush league of any of the Colts fans. Now, the more I've thought about it and I've heard different versions of the reasons why, I could see how someone that's probably spent thousands of dollars to go to season tickets and everything, now realizing you've lost this man, I could see that part making you a bit angry. It was not cool of Adam Schechter to do it. I see your point about telling him to do it, but it depends on what story you read. There were stories that they let Schechter know so he could drop the bomb right before his press conference that was already scheduled on Sunday. But I know as a guy like Schechter, he probably can't risk that, because what if someone else drops it? Now he doesn't get the juice. What if Jay Glazer, you know, gets done playing some MMA, gets out of the octagon and goes, hey, look at this, man. Look at me. I'm a sweaty little guy. And here we go. But like, that was an option. So it was messed up. You know, Schechter was premature. He was like a high school kid on prom night. But it was just, it was crazy that he did it. But I know why he did it. If he could have just waited till even after the game, it would have solved all these problems. We wouldn't even be having this discussion.
That's very true. I mean, I just, I guess that's what you risk. If they said, hey, look, we're going to give you this news. You're the only person we're going to give this news to. And, you know, you can break it whenever the time they said was. Maybe it was after the game. Maybe it was the next day, whatever it was. And he said, okay, thanks. And then immediately broke it. I mean, that's just a guy that you're never going to hear from again. You're never going to get news from that source again if they said, you know, break this after the game because we don't want the fans knowing. But I'll say this is, I hate the fact that the Colts knew about this, because we saw Jim Irsay do this before. And I think this is why the people were booing, is because some of those same people that got, I'm not going to say duped into season tickets, because if you can buy season tickets, you're doing fine. You know what I mean? But you probably chose to spend your money on season tickets instead of taking your family on some summer vacation, or, you know, putting a down payment on your boat or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, whatever other form of entertainment, it's still a ton of money to be putting down. And You know, there's some loser out there like me who is, instead of moving into a house and, you know, fixing all the problems that he has with his life, he's buying season tickets instead. And now he's buying them instead, you know, to go watch Jacoby Brissett instead of Andrew Luck. So I had no problem with the people booing. You know, you pay the money, you sit there, you can do whatever you want as long as it doesn't impact other fans, as far as I'm concerned. I think so, you know, it's a bit eye rolling, but also, yeah. You know, like you just said, you know, taking time to think about what the people's reaction was is what brought you to kind of, okay, you know, it's not something I would have done, but I understand.
I bet you most of those people probably regret it now.
I'm with you.
They probably want their money back, but they probably regret, because it's not Andrew's fault that they never got him an O-line. They never protected him.
Right.
He has a laundry list of injuries that make him not want to play football. That's not his fault. So
I think they wish Jim Irsay was walking over there, because Irsay did the same nonsense in 2017. He said, no, Luck should be back week 2 or 3, right?
And they all knew he had that shoulder injury from skiing or something.
Right. And then he just, you know, he didn't play the entire season, and people that paid for the season tickets kind of got duped. And then after people bought season tickets for this year, because it looked like Andrew Luck was going to go, we find out that the organization knew about this stuff. And I think if I'm Jim Irsay, I don't know. Jim Irsay has enough money to do whatever the hell he wants, so I'm just never going to be in that position. So I have no idea what he's possibly thinking there. But I think that I might have just said, "Hey, look, this is something that Andrew's considering," you know, so it doesn't look like he's hiding something again. Because if I'm a Colts fan that has paid for season tickets for a long time, I'm kind of pissed now. I would have liked to have known this information, but. You know,
Joe P. Sapia would have loved that information.
Yeah. Yes, he would have, because he owns 8 million shares of Andrew Luck. So I just texted him like right after it happened. I'm like, how many shares? And he just said, I'm ready for DFS. So,
yeah, no, I sent him some, because I gave him a hard time when a couple of weeks back when the news kind of got deeper on Luck. I'm like, oh, this just does not look good. And then when that one dropped, I sent him a text with a GIF, basically like, you need a hug.
Oh, that's so funny. I mean, I owned one share. I had Andrew Luck in a dynasty league where I had also drafted Patrick Mahomes, but I traded Patrick Mahomes his rookie season for Curtis Samuel, And Curtis Samuel immediately broke his ankle. And I didn't keep Curtis Samuel last year. But it was all okay because I had Andrew Luck. So now I have Jameis Winston and Eli Manning. So I'm sure I'm not up for a long year at all. What about the Doug Gottlieb comment? Doug Gottlieb saying that quitting because rehab is too hard is the most millennial thing ever. I mean, he got absolutely torn apart, but I would like it if you would join in. So go ahead.
I had my fun on Twitter at what Torrey Smith had to say to him. And then when Troy Aikman body bagged him, that was pretty amazing. Like, I didn't even know Troy Aikman knew how to use Twitter, let alone have comments like that. Doug Gottlieb, he's like the next level right below Colin Coward for me. Like, they're both just world-class POSs. Like, yep. I want – they're both garbage. Like, I'd rather listen to Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless TV, which is that's like a death sentence on its own. But those two are ridiculous. And Gottlieb kind of backtracking that, oh, you don't know my sense. Gottlieb, you got what you wanted, and now you're backtracking like a fool. Like, yeah. It was just the worst thing. There was no good timing for it, period. But coming out saying something like that from a guy that stole people's credit cards in college so he didn't have to work, it's like, go. What's more millennial than that? Like, go away, Doug Gottlieb. But literally, I wish whatever station he's on anymore, if it's Fox or CBS, whatever the heck it is, would just get rid of that man. But they won't, because it's things like this that get clickbait. It's like Coward and all these tools have a job.
Yeah, Whitlock, all those guys. I'm not into the, yeah, I'm going to say the opposite opinion of most fans so I can get clicks stuff. I just don't. I never understood that, so I don't consume, Cowherd. The only time I do is when Baker Mayfield is roasting him. And Colin Cowherd makes me a Baker Mayfield fan. He is a Sooner Brown. I'm not supposed to like that dude at all, you know. And it's when some idiot thing that Colin Cowherd says that Baker just destroys him on. That's when I have to like Colin, or I have to like Baker Mayfield. So, and the only time I ever like Colin Cowherd was when Jim Harbaugh was acting like a psychopath on his show. So I loved it that he hung up on him, and he did the, all right, coach, thanks, have a good one, goodbye. And he's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do there. He just wouldn't answer anything. He's giving me one word answers. Why come on the show? You know, yeah, it's like the only time I ever felt bad for Colin Cowherd. But you're absolutely right. Okay, let's talk about some fantasy impact here. What are you doing with the rest of the Colts now that Luck is gone? Have you lowered T.Y. Hilton tremendously, Marlon Mack? There are people just not drafting Eric Ebron or Jack Doyle anymore, and the surrounding counterparts. What are you doing with those guys?
Yeah, for me, it's like Brissett's still a very viable quarterback. He's not a quarterback one. He's possibly a second quarterback in a 2QB league. He's going to be a guy that, in this system with Frank Reich, without the previous regime in town and more experience under his belt, he'll be better. He might shock some people. He could be a good streaming candidate during bye weeks. These are options you have there. Marlon Mack, I was never really in on him to begin with. You have two approaches with him right now. It's either they try to run the ball more and slow it down without Luck, so it's a benefit to Mack. Otherwise, they spread it out more, and that makes Nyheim Hines a more valuable player. So for me, it's like you got to find out which viewpoint they're going to run with. I think it does raise Hines a little bit, still a very, very late round target. And the big discussion points, T.Y. Hilton, like you said, some people are just burying him past like wide receiver 40. I still think he's in like that mid 20 range at the worst, 20 to 25. Still has PPR upside. He has potential to still get into wide receiver one, but he'll probably be like an upper end wide receiver two. Very talented receiver. Falling into the fifth, sixth rounds in a lot of drafts, you're going to get him at great value. Brissett's still going to feed him because there's no one else there. If I'm Jacoby Brissett, I'm throwing it to T.Y. Hilton. I'm not throwing it to Devin Funchess. It's very simple. Like, these are where I'm throwing the football. And Jack Doyle, a guy that I was big on in the offseason as a super late round dart, I think it ups him up a ton. People forget, Scott Barrett and others have tweeted it out, that Doyle was used so much more than Ebron when they were both in the lineup, both healthy. Brissett loves the tight end. So I'm a big fan of Doyle late in drafts. I think he's a very good sleeper. As if you're crazy enough to draft two tight ends, you're big. Or if you just say punt the position, go with Doyle late. I think you got some value there as you head into your final draft weekend.
I mean, I you covered everything, and I think I'm on board with pretty much everything you said, because I lowered T.Y. Hilton down to 25, I think it is, on my list. Let me ask you a couple either-ors, though. Are you going T.Y. Hilton or Chris Godwin?
Godwin still.
Yeah, you're a Godwin guy. How about T.Y. Hilton versus D.J. Moore?
I'd probably go D.Y. Hilton.
D.Y. Hilton? Yeah. I got confused. I was like, wait a minute.
It's the DIY number. Do it yourself, Godwin.
Jarvis Landry.
T.Y. Hilton.
Allen Robinson.
T.Y. Hilton.
Calvin Ridley.
T.Y. Hilton.
Okay. So it seems like you have him closer to 20 then. Yeah, how about banged up Amari Cooper?
T.Y. Hilton. I'm not an Amari fan at all.
Okay. I actually am an Amari fan, but I'm with you. One that we can get to before the break here is, and I talked about it with the Welsh too, I had a disagreement with an Army member who, he's great and he's just the most respectful guy ever, but he disagreed with me on, and I'd like to get your take on this. I said Alexander Mattison over Nyheim Hines. If you think Hines is getting a little bit of a bump, I'd like to know where you are on those two running backs versus each other.
I like Hines a little better right now. I know this is kind of a scapegoat weighed out, but I think the gamble's better with Madison because one injury to Cook, Madison's the workhorse beast there. We saw him explode in the preseason. I think if you're willing to take a gamble that late in your draft, Madison's the guy to go with.
So what you're saying is talent-wise, you think it's Nyheim Hines, but the situation would have you drafting Alexander Mattison. Is that right?
100% correct.
All right. Yeah. You and I agree 1,000% on that because I think Nyheim Hines is way more talented than Alexander Mattison. Now, like I said before,
should have Hines play the slot.
Yeah, but Paris Campbell plays the slot.
Screw him. He just finally figured out how to make it to the field.
Chester Rogers also plays the slot. And they're going to move T.Y. Hilton to the slot as well.
I'm okay with.
So, I mean, all that stuff's going to happen, but we're going to talk more football on the break. We're going to get Casey Bubba's opinion on what is going on with the Zeke situation and see if I have to scream at him as well. So we will be right back after this break. Stick with us. It's ITL on FNTSY.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league.
Something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
In this league.
There's something weird and it don't look good. Who you gonna call?
In this league.
Welcome back. It's Scott Bogdan for ITL and FNTSY. I'm here with my buddy Casey Bubba at BDN Trick. Bench with Bubba podcast. I mean, you've got that one. You have 8 million podcasts. Can you plug yourself here, please? Come on.
I appreciate it. Bench with Bubba is the flagship of it all. I got an MLB DFS quick hits Monday through Friday. Got always pressing PGA DFS on Mondays. I got the NFL 2-point conversion starting up next week. And around the base with Bubba and Mo. So many things going on. Find it all at fantasysportsdegens.com. But the one, if you're only listening to one, I know it sounds bad of me, but listen to Bench with Bubba. That's my baby. That's over 200 episodes in, which means a lot to me as doing this. So that would be the place.
The 200 mark, anytime you hit one of those 100 marks, it's usually a pretty big deal. I don't know why the Welsh and I don't celebrate them. You know, like we got to 300. I think when we got to 100 on baseball, we were like, we got to do something special. And we did something. But I think it's just because so many podcasts going on. When we got to 300 in the off season, it was kind of like, all right, this is 300, you know?
I've thought about doing it. Like I try to maybe find, you know, a guy that I never thought I'd ever get on my show or something. But it doesn't really mean that much. Like it means a lot to me that I get to those numbers. But to like celebrate it like it's a birthday or something, I just want to keep talking sports. That's why I'm on here with you right now. That's why I'll take a spot anywhere anybody wants me, just because I love talking to sports, and whatever it comes to, it comes to.
I think the 100, the 500, and the 1,000. I think those are the big ones, you know. And then if beyond that, you're Joe Rogan. You know what I mean? Like if you can get up to five digits. Right. Yeah. I mean, come on. You know, that's nobody needs a podcast every single day. Although I have been.
About to say, look in the mirror, buddy.
Yeah, well, you're right. Well, I meant the same thing every day. Okay. Like, you know, at least I'm mixing it up here. The Joe, I usually listen to Rogan, but I haven't found. I'm okay. So the political stuff, I don't want any part of. I'm just no thanks. MMA, I'm not into, so I don't listen to those. And then the comedians, I usually like his pods with comedians, but sometimes they turn into the same pod over and over and over and over. They talk about the road. They talk about this place they went to. They talk about the owner of whatever place that they had a screaming match with over $25 and a free appetizer, whatever it is, you know. They talk about how X, Y, or Z is crazy, and that's kind of the whole thing, you know. But I, for whatever reason, I like it when he gets, like, you know, sciencey people on or crazy people. I like the crazy people.
You're an Elon Musk fan. You love him.
Yeah. And Bob Lazar. Did you listen to the Bob Lazar one?
I have not listened to that. I'm behind on Rogan, but what you're saying, I agree with, because I even did this like yesterday. I'm in my vehicle all day, so I listen to podcasts all day long. And I have my baseballs, my footballs. I get to a point in the day where I just want to like listen to something completely different, like that makes you think, or just kind of like just something totally different, just interviews on random stuff. And that's where Rogan comes in perfectly.
Yeah, I get that way with Marin sometimes. Now, I don't like Marin will riff for like 20 minutes at the top. I never listen to that. I always just go to the interview, which I don't know, maybe makes me a hypocrite. But I'm still giving him the listen. You know what I mean?
Well, so. That's why I love Stern. Like, if Stern ever did a podcast, I don't need to listen to like all the other goofy whack pack stuff. But his interviews are some of the best you'll ever hear. Like. And they're absolutely amazing. So that's the stuff I love. But yeah, you don't get that luxury without the radio.
Right, right. Exactly. So, all right. Well, let's talk about the Zeke situation. Now, I don't know how much his spot has changed for you, but we did hear Jerry Jones say that, you know, now they're expecting him to miss games. I believe his, you know, I'm paraphrasing his quote here, but it was something like the mental games have begun. So it's which side is going to break first. And forever, I have been saying, Joe has been saying, I'm not worried too much about Zeke. Now, I did lower him in my rankings. I had him at 4 for a long time. I moved him down to 9 last week. I don't think I'm going to move him off of that spot, though. I think 9 is about where I'm going to have him. I think it makes, if you're taking him, you have to draft situationally. You have to understand he could miss a big chunk of the season. So you want Pollard, but if you don't get Pollard, you need to take other running backs early. So what is your take on Zeke, and where have you moved him, if at all, in your rankings?
You pretty much 100% read my mind right there. You were word for word on that. Obviously, he's not a top 4 pick for me anymore because he's going to miss some time. And I was with you guys. I thought, oh, don't worry about it. He'll be there by week one. It's heck. We talked last week, Bogman.
Yeah.
You know, the Jones families were all excited and very optimistic. Like, we agreed that you had to say that, but now it's kind of doom and gloom around there. I still think he's a late first round pick. I was thinking 9-ish when I was kind of doing it in my head. He's one of those guys that the part you mentioned that's most important that people need to take away. If you draft Zeke, it's situational. You need to have a guy or an extra running back in play that you can use for. I don't see him missing a ton of time, but what if he misses 3 or 4 weeks? You need a guy there. Still, 12 weeks of Zeke is phenomenal. Like, if you think about it, you're getting 12 weeks of a number one running back, and you got him 9th pick, and he could be a first pick overall. So that is still great if you draft accordingly. And that comes back to things we've talked about before, is you need to know the player pool, because now you have to waste the pick where you might have taken a wide receiver 2. You got to rush back in and get another running back you can trust, unless you really like the depth at running back later on. So if you know your stuff, you're good to go. And then you should, if you listen to Bogman and the Welsh. But I haven't dropped him a ton just yet. I don't see him hold. I don't see him pulling a Lev Bell. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, and the reason I don't think that that happens is because I think that they lose a couple games and they're a different team without Zeke. So I, to be honest, I think the Cowboys have to blink here. I think they have to blink and they have to pay him. So
they need him badly.
Right. Yeah. They need him. So do you have to draft Pollard if you take Zeke?
No.
No. You can survive without him.
For me, I can survive without him. I understand the process, you know, the whole Bell, James Conner deal last year and all that. I get it. I 100% get it. But the problem is with him is there's so much helium on Pollard right now. Now where you have to grab him is a very valuable roster spot. So it's either you take the gamble on Pollard, or for me, it's like I just talked about, you'd be situational and get a guy, another like really good running back that has his own role, that what if another guy gets injured? Now you can still use him. Pollard's almost worthless when Zeke comes back. And for me, that's where I might differ from some. I know I've heard many and very smart, respected guys say, I need to have Pollard. It's very important. But to me, that was more when Pollard was still going in the teams. Not right. Where he's going now, where it's a valuable pick, where you have to take Pollard now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, his value is going way too high. The Welsh and I talked a little bit about your draft strategy if you take Zeke. I said, I'm a guy, I like taking three running backs straight, even if I'm not taking Zeke. I like opening up my first three rounds with running back, because there are plenty of wide receivers that I like kind of in that mid-range of rounds like 4 through 8. There's tons of them I like in there. So is that a strategy that you've been thinking about employing? Is that something you've done in mocks or in real drafts? And what do you think about taking three running backs straight?
My biggest thing I'd say when I'm looking at my draft strategy, it's like, if I'm a top four-ish pick, I'll go running back. If I'm a back end of the first round, I go receiver usually, or maybe receiver running back. It depends on what's fallen. I really don't mind the zero running backs, because I like a lot of the – I'm kind of the opposite of you, I guess.
Okay.
I like a lot of those kind of mid-tier – but I also play a lot of PPR. If I was playing standard, I want more of the bell cows, which you got to take early. But like a PPR format, I have no problem taking a couple running backs in the, you know, rounds 3, 4, or 4, 5 or something to give me my running backs 1 and 2 and load up on, say, a Julio and an OBJ or a Hopkins and another like top-end receiver – at that back end of the first round, early second round. That's where I've been going. I know guys like yourself that do a lot of the early running backs. To me, it just seems like the drop off between, like, say, wide receiver 2 to wide receiver 3 is a lot harsher than, say, running back 2 to running back 3 for me.
Yeah, I guess my thing is I've been burned by having crappy running backs so many times, and I'm getting sick of it. So I respect to me the bravery of being able to go wide receiver because I've done it, but it's not something that I'm going to do very often. And most of the time, like, if I'm on that back end, I love a Mixon and Dalvin Cook. You know, I like that type of mix.
And I don't hate that. I don't hate that. It seems like in drafts though, where I've been going, I can get like a Mixon, a Cook, a Kerryon Johnson, one of those guys as my second running backs on the if I have an early pick. The back end though, it's like I go early on, a little earlier, like on a James White and another pick to give me those kind of PPR backs. It's kind of a weird feeling, I guess, but I guess it's something I like, and it's not for everybody.
Yeah, it's I get it. I have a hard time relying on, you know, James White worked out last year, but who are those other, you know, like the Welsh was taking Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson's, you know, made of glass.
We don't need to say his name. That's okay.
Right. Like I love Chris Thompson, but, and I've taken him in a couple drafts here, and I've been snapping up Gio Bernard in my deep drafts, like my 16 man, drafts. Those are nice pieces. Eckler obviously in there as well. I have a hard time relying on those guys.
If I'm doing that, some guys I want later, like I get the bell cow thing, but like super like later guys, like Duke Johnson's obviously moving up, he'd be a big one, but players like Frick, he's super late, Deion Lewis, that's a guy. Devin Singletary, if you want to take the gamble. Darwin Thompson, Jalen Samuels, Matt Breida, there's a whole slew down there that they're not bell cows, but they should have pretty good roles. So kind of pick your poison.
I agree with everyone except for Samuels on that, and that's as a Steelers fan. I think Connor's just going to get as much as he can handle. So, yeah, me too. I'm taking Connor all over the place. So, I mean, I'm a huge, huge Connor fan. What about the Melvin Gordon situation here, Bubba? I mean, you know, where are you drafting him now? Is this the same situation as Zeke? And if it is, you know, why is he going two rounds later? He's going in the third or fourth. I think Fantasy Pros ADP has him at pick 36, so the last pick in the third round. And are you taking the risk on drafting Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, he's dropping like crazy. Like you said, down to 36 now. He was much higher than that a week ago. And I'm not doing it because it's not the same as Zeke. The Cowboys need Zeke. The Chargers don't need Melvin Gordon. As weird as that sounds, like Melvin Gordon's an elite running back. They don't need him. Now, if you're doing your strategy where you take three running backs, I could see Melvin Gordon being a third running back and taking that gamble. It's just weird because he legit could sit out to like week, I think it's 10 or 11, whatever it is. He could be a Kareem Hunt that you're getting like six rounds before Kareem Hunt.
Right.
So that's like the worst situation because he's going to report back eventually. He has to in order to get out of the LA. It's just the way it's going to go. It's different than the Lev Bell situation. I just can't touch him there. Like, I really can't. If I'm looking at running backs around there, I'd rather take Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Chris Carson, who I like a lot, is right there. I'd rather take gambles on those guys or go to a wide receiver because as much as I like Melvin Gordon, say he comes back, then you know he's going to have he's going to get injured at some point in time. You're already missing games early, plus probably a few in the middle of the season. That's a huge loss.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to be tired of hearing this because you just repeated exactly what I said to the Welsh. So I'm just not taking Melvin Gordon. I'm not doing it because what I said was they don't need him. They're the same team. And Welsh agreed with me on that. They're the same team without Melvin Gordon. For the most part, I mean, obviously Melvin Gordon's a better back than Justin Jackson and he makes them better. But, you know, they haven't been close on the money, and I think all Zeke wants is a little bit more. He wants to be the highest paid running back in the league, and they're not offering him that. They're offering him a little bit less than what Todd Gurley got, and he doesn't want that. He wants to be paid the most. I think they'll budge, but they seem to be $2 to $3 million bucks off with Melvin Gordon right now. So
yeah, it's not even close.
Yeah, per year. So when it's that far away, it's just not something that I can do. Now, what have you been doing with Justin Jackson? Have you been drafting him at all standalone? Is he the must-have handcuff if you're drafting Melvin Gordon? Or what do you think about Justin Jackson for this year?
See, for me, I'm still an Eckler guy. I just think Eckler has value even if Melvin Gordon comes back.
Me too.
He'll get his. And that's why I'm still an Eckler guy. But we saw it last year when Gordon was out, and then the game where Eckler even got hurt. Justin Jackson can definitely do this on his own. Like, he's very, very good. So when we just talked about taking guys later in the draft, like, if you believe Melvin Gordon's missing some time, I have no problem taking a gamble on Justin Jackson. I don't have any Jackson. It's just not how my drafts have played out. Some guys kind of jump on him early that believe I need all the handcuffs. I'm not that guy. But I have no problem taking him. I think he's a really good pick. I don't think he's a must pick by any reason. Like I said, I still have Eckler ahead, but Jackson's very, very good, and I wouldn't be shocked if Gordon misses a big chunk of time that Jackson has a few running back 1 weeks in him that'll really help you on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, I've been, especially in those deeper leagues, I've been snapping him up because I just think he's going to get the run. I think you're absolutely right about Eckler. Eckler has the role regardless of whether Gordon's there or not, but he just costs so much more. You know, Jackson falls, even though it looks like he's going to have a role, and I think a big part of that is the ADP. You know, I play a lot on Fantrax mainly, obviously. The ADP just has him pretty much buried. What about Phillip Rivers? I am not a Phillip Rivers guy. He's got too many kids. I lower him way down there. He's just so boom or bust most weeks. But even I have to admit, you take away, you know, your number one option on offense in Melvin Gordon, and you're probably going to need to rely on your quarterback a little bit more, which means Keenan Allen needs maybe to get a bump. Maybe Mike Williams gets a bump. Maybe Hunter Henry and all those guys. So what are you thinking on Phillip Rivers? Have you moved him up at all because of this situation?
Well, to be fair, I'm a gigantic Philip Rivers fantasy fan. Not real life, the bolo tie can go, but I'm a big fan of Rivers in fantasy because he's a guy that either is like a late round pick or doesn't even go drafted in some leagues, and he returns like, you know, top 12, top 13 value more times than not, with upside even higher. And with no Melvin Gordon, I could see them throwing a lot more. Keenan Allen needs to get healthy, but that's said multiple times a season. Williams should have a big year. I like Williams a lot. And then Hunter Henry, people might forget how good he was in 2017, and when we got screwed that he tore his ACL and couldn't play last year. He has three very, very good weapons. You throw Eckler in there and a beastly back like Justin Jackson. This is why the Chargers don't need Melvin Gordon.
Right.
Plenty of weapons. Phillip Rivers will be just fine.
Yeah, I'm with you on liking Rivers more. I still think he's boomer bust because he's either QB1 or QB24. But,
and there's a lot of good quarterbacks going right around him, so I get it.
Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of the same. But we're going to take a break, and we are going to be back for the last second. We're going to hit more running back situations and maybe talk about Bubba's guys when we come back right after this break. It's ITL on FNTSY.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league,
I thought we were gonna be just friends.
What? Friends
in this league.
In the dark.
It's Endless Love, ITL on FNTSY. I'm already messing stuff up here. It's been a long day for me, obviously. Had to wake up early today, talk about all that college football, all that amazing action. You saw the amazing stuff that happened today. A lot of fun. And Texas just stomping Louisiana Tech right now is my favorite thing in the world. So not speaking through a crystal ball at all, of course. It's Scott Bogman. You can find me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, joined by Casey Bubba of Bench with Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitters. And we've got more running back situations to talk about here, because normally there's not much changing at the end here of the preseason and stuff. And the preseason action in week four didn't matter hardly at all for these situations. But a big one in Houston. Lamar Miller tore up his ACL. And the 1 year where Joe said he took Lamar Miller shares, he's like, you know what? People are right. It's time to quit being afraid of him. He's never going to lose his job, clearly. And
wait, so Joe has Lamar Miller and Andrew Luck shares?
Yeah, he does. And Gary Davenport, same deal. He had he had him. He had Lamar Miller and Andrew Luck. And God, he had somebody else he drafted. I think it was a defensive player that blew out his knee. So it's just, you know, it's the way she goes sometimes. But I mean, look, I like Duke. You know, they obviously spent a pick on him. They cut Ferguson as we're recording this, so it looks like Crockett might be the backup there. I don't know what they're going to do for a guy to pound the rock, because I feel like Duke Johnson is a dude that can get, you know, I don't know, 15 touches a game is kind of his max. But a lot of people don't think that. They think that he can be a bell cow back. Where do you stand on Duke?
I like him a lot. I know it's kind of a running joke on Twitter right now, like, oh, this is his height and his weight, and, you know, this is what he can do in college. I get it. And he could carry the load. There's no doubt about it. But that's just not the way he's, I guess, programmed to play in the NFL these days. I don't know if that's the right word, but he's going to be a back that can still carry it, you know, 10 plus times a game if he has to. But they want to get him out in open space. They want to get him in the slot. I think he's going to be very effective there. Kiki Kute coming back does not help his slot performance, but still should keep him plenty of touches in that Houston Texans offense. I'm kind of bummed about it, not just because it sucks for Lamar to tear his ACL, but I've always been kind of a guy, when I mentioned people like Deion Lewis and others, I've enjoyed taking Duke Johnson later in draft in PPR leagues for that upside he brings to the table. Now, He's running back 33 off the board between, like, he's right behind Eckler and Geist and got Latavius Murray and Jordan Howard and Rashad Penny. He's moving up to make it a little more interesting, but I'm a big fan of Duke. If he's a running back 3 on your team or whatever, or if you did 0 running backs and he's a running back 2, I have no problem with that. I'm very high on him. I think that offense is going to be super explosive this year, so there should be a lot to like there.
Now, I want to ask you a couple verses. Drake or Duke?
Duke.
Geist or Duke?
That's tougher. I'm still going Duke, but Geist is slowly appealing to me more and more because I was big on him last year, but then he got hurt and I just kind of like did that whole fantasy thing where it's, I'm going to wash you out of my memory. And the more I've looked at him this year, it's like the Men in Black potion didn't work. And I want a piece of Darius Geist now.
Wait a minute. I'm starting to remember this. I have amnesia.
I forgot how good he really was.
How about Rashad Penny?
I'll take Duke Johnson.
Freeman. Royce Freeman.
Duke Johnson.
Peterson.
Adrian.
Yeah.
Duke. If I like Geist, I can't like Peterson.
I think you can like both of them. And yeah, I think
probably
that
right.
I think that Peterson is a dude that could get moved to Houston in a deal. See,
that would be huge. I'd be all aboard there because I was all aboard when he went to Washington last year and I got laughed all off of Twitter and it worked out just fine.
Has it in him. All of us idiots that took him when he went to the Saints and thought he was going to be something, you know, president company included here. I thought he was going to be huge going to the Saints, but obviously Kamara and Ingram went buck there and he was a nothing. He was a zero share. So
it was to know a little Tennessee running back was going to be a stud in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should have seen it because he was Bama transfer to Tennessee. You know,
and he's got the dreadlocks. Those dreadlocks add like five miles an hour speed.
I hate that nose piercing. Like that one, it makes me afraid for whoever has it. Like I feel like that nose piercing is just going to get ripped right out every time I see it. It's like
nipple piercings.
Yeah. I was thinking of the movie Airheads. You remember Airheads?
Yes. Great movie. Great
movie. Chris Farley, when the guy ripped his badge off of his uniform and then he grabbed the dude's nipple ring.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Oh man. What about, are you in on like deeper leagues, taking a flyer on like a Crockett, a Higdon, Buddy Howell, any of those dudes?
No, to me, they're all pretty much the same guy right now. To me, I could be wrong. Right. I haven't gotten that deep into that well. Like, I'd rather probably gamble on some other players before I start going deep in Houston. It's hard enough trusting the starters that play in Houston, let alone the deep running back messes there.
How about the Bucks? The Bucks are a goddamn mess. I mean, you know, Peyton Barber, Ronald Jones, or Dare Ogunbowale is getting a lot of chatter here lately. Who has the most upside out of this group?
By the way, I'll give you kudos. You did that very well. It's probably like the 12th time you said his name.
Oh, no. He played for Nebraska. Remember college fantasy football.
So you guys, yeah, you're
Dare. Yep.
I tried to do this the other day, and I just started calling him Ogun.
Dare Ogunbowale. Just call him Dare.
Yeah, Dare works too. It's weird because you look at this squad, and, you know, people want Barber and Jones to be the guy. But to me, they're kind of the same guy. It's kind of a weird setup with them. I think Dare is shown the most in the preseason. Again, that's grain of salt stuff. But the fact they're willing to give him the third down role, which ups his PPR value, maybe gives him some goal line value at times. It's really interesting. The crazy part is we don't like to play like the guessing game between two running backs. And now we're trying to guess between three. that makes things really, really nasty. It's almost like you just say, screw it. I'll take the cheapest of the three and roll that direction. But because like where Jones and Barber are going, you're going to want someone else. That's just the way I look at it. So you can take a chance on Dare if you want, or just enjoy the passing game in Tampa Bay. Don't even worry about the running backs.
I want to take Ronald Jones in some spots because I think like when he gets a real chance of multiple carries in the NFL, I think he'll shine. But he's still going fairly high, and it's just he's going too high for me to take him. And I've almost pulled the trigger on Peyton Barber more times, and I don't have, to be honest, I think I have zero shares of this backfield, which is, you know, I want zero shares of the Redskins, but people just keep letting Peterson fall, and I keep taking him in many spots. What about the Dolphins? I look, You're a Dolphins fan, so you tell me. You know, Drake is healthy now. Looks like he's ready to go for week one. So I'm assuming he's going to be the dude to get the run. But Ballage is still in there, and Mark Walton has looked better than anybody else in the preseason, but we all know he's a criminal and can't keep his nose clean, so I don't know how long that stuff is going to last. So what is going on with this backfield?
Hey, Bogman, you know what they say about people that assume things, right?
Yep.
So as a Dolphins fan, I've said it time and time again, Kenyon Drake is the best running back in this backfield. Kenyon Drake should be the bell horse back. Is he? Has he ever been? No. That's the shame. Now, maybe this new regime will help with that. Him being hurt for 2 weeks doesn't help, but he is back at practice. He is running with the ones. That is great. If I knew going right now that Drake would get at least, they say, 70% of the workload, I would say draft Kenyon Drake. I'd be all about it. I just have no idea what this regime is going to do. I am not a Kalen Ballage fan. He'll have his highlights from time to time. I like Myles Gaskin, a guy that they took super late, but I think maybe he got another year before we see him have more of an impact. Don't worry about Mark Walton. That's just a preseason thing. It's between Drake. It's between Ballage. I would take Drake if that's what you want to do. I have no problem with it. Just know it is super risky and have something to break in case of emergency with you at all times, because Drake's the guy, but only if they let him.
Gaskin was my guy. But they keep saying that he's behind Walton. So putting him at four, I got to believe the number four guy doesn't get touches outside of an injury. So maybe there's an injury that will move him up. But
or they trade one of them. We'll see.
Or cut one. I wouldn't be surprised by that either. Let's lightning round a couple more situations here. In Denver, Lindsay at 52 or Freeman at 102? Because that's the ADPs.
Due to their ADPs, Freeman has the value, and he's got the helium or the excitement behind him. I still think Philip Lindsay is an absolute monster. I think people keep forgetting how good he is. So Philip Lindsay for me.
Me too. I'm all about Philip Lindsay. He proved last year he's a better back, and he's going to stay the better back. Carson at 41 or Penny at 91?
It's 100% Chris Carson for me. Huge Chris Carson guy this year.
Yeah, me too. They ran the ball more than anybody else did. Number one last year, and he's the guy to get the most of it. Let's do Washington. Geitz at 74, Peterson at 126, or Chris Thompson basically free, 190.
It's cute you put Chris Thompson there. That's nice of you, because I've been sucked in the Chris Thompson vortex many times. Not this year, though. Not so fast, my friend. But I'm still going Darius Geitz. I understand all your Peterson takes. I am starting to believe back in Geist, though. I really am.
Yeah, I mean, I think they want Geist to go. I think they'll work him in slowly. And I think Peterson will have a role. And if not, hopefully he has a role for a different team. Kansas City, Damian Williams at 25 or Darwin. His ADP right now is 122, but let's put that at 100 because he's going within the top 100 players for sure in every draft I've been doing recently.
Yeah, Damian Williams is obviously the starter, but give me all the Darwin Thompson at that price. We know he can do it if he has to, or we have a good idea that he can do it if he has to. Pretty much any running back in that system will get it done. We've seen that time and time again. Damian Williams has never had a full workload ever. So Darwin Thompson will have his chances, and at that price point, that is really good value.
All right, now I want to do on the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast, the Welsh and I went over our guys. This isn't necessarily shares. This is the guys when you're looking at the draft board, they pop off the board to you for whatever reason it is. You're looking at the rest of the mess that's there and you go, you know what? This is the guy I want. And for me, I'll just kind of burn through mine real quick. Fournette. Cortland Sutton, I love Cortland Sutton. Adrian Peterson, I've taken every draft, so he kind of has to be on this list for me. I love Madison as a Cook backup. Larry Fitzgerald is in there for me. I take him everywhere. Gio Bernard, I've been taken in a bunch of places. And Debo Samuel for the Niners are the guys that I think not only am I going to have shares of, but these are the guys that I want to draft a couple rounds before I probably should. So do you have any guys like that where you're just on your draft board, you're looking, and you go, these are the dudes that I have to own?
Well, for one, I'll skip to one of them we share is Larry Fitzgerald. This age shaming that we see is gone too far. I have literally people have laughed at me in my home league for 3 or 4 years now. Like they might as well just give me him as an honorary pick because I take him every year because no one else does. Like, and all he does is apparently get it done. And now you have a young quarterback that's going to want to feed a veteran receiver with like a body of his size, a great target. I love Fitz. Big fan of Fitz. I mentioned Deion Lewis earlier. I seem to have him in a lot of places as a late, like fourth, fifth running back, just with the upside there. Because what if Henry gets hurt? We've never seen him do a full year. All That's right. a big pick there. A couple other ones that are scary. I preached about it, I think, on the last episode I was with you. I'm a big Will Fuller fan, and that is big boomer bust, but I'm a big fan of his. So I have a lot of Will Fuller. I have a lot of Josh Gordon. A lot of that was before he came back, so I feel very happy about that. Very happy.
Look, man, you know, if you're getting him before he came back, you're getting him at whatever the last round is in that draft. So I'm all about that value. I even said that, you know, in a couple drafts, you know, why aren't you taking him at the end? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also fought against it initially when it came in because this dude has just burned you so many times. You know, he's the anti Larry Fitzgerald, right? Where you keep taking Larry Fitzgerald, he keeps working. You know, Josh Gordon is the anti. But if you have Fitzgerald and Josh Gordon on one team, you should be one of those dudes should work out. So I'm all about it.
Gucci. One of the favorite quarterbacks of mine, because people just don't seem to like him as much as he should be, is Cam Newton. And I know I think actually the ankle or foot injury might help keep him in the pocket more. But I'm a big Cam Newton fan. Every year, all he does is produce fantasy wise. You might not like his, you know, his swag and all that good stuff, but when it comes to fantasy, he's one of the best quarterbacks out there perennially. So I'm a big Cam fan. That's a few of them, like D.D. Westbrook, James White. Those are guys I'm big fans of also. But
I love James White.
Yeah, James White. I just get sucked into him like a moth to a flame every time I'm drafting. And it's like I said earlier, I might reach a little bit or not. But if he falls and I'm like, holy, oh, my goodness, he's still sitting there, I just jump.
I don't think I have any shares of him because I'm doing the early running back bit this year, but I want shares of James White. Like I know I got my home league drafting, you know, tomorrow on Monday or in 2 days on Monday. So I think I might get him there. And then I have the official Fantasy Rings Player Haters Ball going on, probably actually as you're listening to this, that draft is happening. And I think that's a possibility for me as well. But I like it's the Cam Newton one. Okay, so I get – here's the thing. I understand the upside with Cam Newton, but the reason I don't own him at all is because just watching him the other night get banged up again in the preseason, it just seems to me that – like, the dude should know by now to get down, especially in the preseason. He shouldn't try to make amazing plays every single time that something breaks down. Throw the ball away. Get rid of it. Overthrow a receiver. Underthrow a receiver. Lay down. Take a sack. Whatever. But he keeps trying to make these plays. It reminds me a lot of Ben Roethlisberger.
I just wanted to say, you should have experience with
yes. this. Yes. Yes. Well, Ben Roethlisberger plus Bruce Arians was an absolute nightmare to deal with. But Cam Newton is just frustrating because he's always like he's almost never playing at 100%. If you get him at 100%, he's you know, like you said, Gucci. I'm all about it. But he's just barely ever at that spot. So I want him running around the goal line. And other than that, I don't want him running.
Can I ask you, would you rather have Kyler Murray or Cam Newton?
Kyler Murray.
Lamar Jackson or Cam Newton?
Lamar Jackson.
Jameis Winston or Cam Newton?
Like, I would take Newton over all these guys, but at their cost, I'm taking the other guys. So I'm okay. taking...
Would you rather have Cam or Big Ben?
Ben, easy.
Brady or Newton?
Ooh, Newton.
Okay.
They're going to run the ball. They're going to run the ball. And okay, that's
with, yeah, Tom Brady's not going to do much until it's needed with a 2-minute drill.
Right, exactly. So, but I like a lot of those guys. And D.D. Westbrook is a dude that I hope you were buying in earlier because the helium on him is just outrageous right now. I mean, it's for whatever reason, he's turned into T.Y. Hilton. They're switching spots. But that is going to wrap us up today for IT on FNTSY. Like I said, hit up KC on the Twitter at BDEntric. please go listen to Bench with Bubba. He's doing us an awesome favor by filling in for the Welsh here. Go listen to his show. Give him a plug. Tell him you heard him here. I'd really appreciate it. And follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, at Is It the Welsh. And we'll see you guys next week where we're getting ready for some football. Let's go. We'll see you guys next week. Take it easy.